We are missionaries making missionaries who go on mission for Jesus. That's how one of my friends in ministry summarizes the Great Commission when Jesus said to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? That makes you a missionary too. I know what you're thinking. No, a missionary is someone sent on a religious mission to a foreign country. That's true, but you're a missionary right where you live. You see, the mission field is over there and right here at the same time. Imagine leaving a church building on Sunday morning. As you walk out the door, a sign reads, "You are now entering the mission field." I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
What does a true disciple of Christ look like? Find out next on this Tuesday edition of Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm Brian Davis, always glad to have you with us. Well, God has called us to make disciples, but first, we have to be disciples. What does that mean? What does a genuine follower of Jesus look like? Answers are straight ahead in today's teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Listen and subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now here's Ron with part two of his Something Good Radio message, the one thing Jesus told us to do.
To go public with your faith and to say, "I'm all in and I've decided to follow Jesus," there's no turning back. I love our baptism services here at Atlantic Shores. I love baptizing because of all the meaning behind it, and because of the public declaration of it, and because of the sermon that it preaches about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love baptizing people in the church baptistry. I've baptized in swimming pools, in jacuzzis. I've baptized in the ocean. I love doing that here at Virginia Beach. I baptize people in the Jordan River in Israel, and it's just a wonderful experience. And every time somebody enters into those waters, we celebrate because somebody else has said, "I'm all in." I'm all in on the Great Commission too. Number three, we make disciples by teaching. After the baptizing, Jesus says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And in the Hebrew mind, teaching also implied not just a, you know, an intellectual understanding of something, but teaching implied that I would teach and I would learn for the purpose of observing or obeying or putting into practice. It leads me to just a little breakdown on what is a disciple. And the first thing a disciple is a learner. A disciple learns from Jesus. And there's a lot to learn, is there not? Jesus says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded." And not just what he's commanded in the gospel accounts, because if we understand the inspiration of Scripture and we understand the eternal nature of God and of Jesus, who was in the beginning was the Word. You know, we're talking about his commands all the way from Genesis to Revelation, okay? And that's a lot to learn. I'm still learning from the Bible, and I never stop learning. You know, we talk in education about having an intellectual curiosity. The best learners in a classroom are those who have intellectual curiosity. They're sitting on the front row. They just can't get enough from the professor. Listen, we need to have not just an intellectual but a spiritual curiosity and passion where we just can't get enough from our teacher, Jesus, who teaches us from the Word of God and his Holy Spirit who instructs us. A disciple learns. By the way, a mathetes, which is the Greek word for disciple, literally means a follower or a student of a certain teacher. Jesus was our Savior, but he was also a good teacher, wasn't he? And there's a lot to learn from him. Secondly, a disciple loves God and others. In the upper room before he was crucified, that night before he was crucified, Jesus was with his disciples, and he said these words, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." What's so new about that? Well, Jesus just brought it to their attention again, right? And he went on to say this. He says, "They," being the world, "will know you are my disciples if you love one another." Friends, love, God's love, is the highest and most supreme ethic in the Christian life. It is the highest and most distinguishing mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. This ought to be a place where we love one another in a way that the world goes, "Well, I got to get some of that." Because I don't experience that kind of love in the world, because the world has taken God's love and made it perverse, and you know all of that. I know of one church in a large city that used to call itself the Oasis of Love. I'd like to go to a church named the Oasis of Love. Sounds kind of corny, but that's what we are. This should be an oasis, not only for us, but for anybody in the world who doesn't know Jesus to step into this place and they experience followers of Jesus loving one another. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Thirdly, a disciple leads others to follow Jesus. You can go back to the Great Commission. There's a multiplier inherent in it. As you are going, make disciples of all nations. The idea is make disciples who go and make disciples. Okay? You can have an addition of a ministry of addition or a ministry of multiplication. Jesus multiplied this thing, and here we are today because he spent time with 12. And he really spent time with three, Peter, James, and John. And how ironic that those three became significant leaders in the early church recorded in the book of Acts. Are you reproducing yourself? Are you, as a disciple, making other disciples? You say, "Pastor, I've never been discipled myself." I understand that. I'm getting there, all right? We're going to fix that problem. No wonder we're not reproducing, because most people in the church have never been discipled by somebody. That's the problem today. We've taken our eye off the ball. The one thing Jesus told us to do was to make disciples. Number four, a disciple lives by the Holy Spirit and produces spiritual fruit. John 15, upper room discourse. Again, Jesus is talking about this intimacy that we need to have with him. He says, he uses the analogy, "I am the vine and you are the branches." You know, one of his great I am statements. He says to his disciples, "Strong men, apart from me, you can do nothing." Try that on for size. Say, "Wait a minute, I can do a lot." No, apart from me, you will never get the job done that I'm talking about. Apart from me, you will never produce the spiritual fruit that I need for you to produce. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. Abide in me, let my words abide in you, as a branch is connected to a vine. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5 talks about living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. It's the same idea of abiding in Christ. A disciple, this is a supernatural thing, friends. It's a supernatural life that we are called to. And it requires the enabling resources of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, a disciple lasts to the end. Lasts to the very end. During the Reformation, the Reformers used to talk about the perseverance of the saints, and what they meant by that was that a true believer in Jesus Christ persevered or lasted all the way to the end, all right? Jesus said, "He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Now, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, But if you don't last until the end, it probably meant you were not a true believer to begin with. So, there are five characteristics of a disciple. Now, all of that is a lot of ought to. And I hate to leave a message in an ought to. We ought to be committed to the Great Commission. We ought to go and make disciples. We got to get to the how-to. And this brings me back to the top of Mount Arbel and a conviction that the Lord brought to my spirit at that time. And going forward, I just couldn't shake it. I felt like he was saying to me, Ron, I want you to be even more intentional about making disciples. But Lord, I've been preaching for 25 years. I've preached a lot of sermons. Okay, that helps make some disciples. Lord, I've been leading churches, encouraging people to get connected in small groups. Okay, that's a great environment to make disciples. But I want you to be even more intentional about it. And let me just cut to the chase. That led me to develop a tool that at first I thought, hey, listen, if I'm the only one that uses the tools, this will be how I make some disciples. But I wanted to share the tool. And it's what I call a discipleship coaching experience, an online discipleship coaching experience called Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. And that's all it is. It's a starting point. It's seven sessions, seven experiences. And it's delivered online using the technology of the day. You can access it anytime, anywhere, on demand. It's free of charge. There's no cost to it. Why would I charge to do what Jesus told us to do, right? No, we're giving this away. And you go there, and in each session, there are notes that you download, and you use those notes to watch a coaching video where I teach about a particular topic, 15, 20 minutes, maybe a little bit longer on some of them. And then there's a study guide to download. You do some homework, get you into that subject a little bit further. And then the last thing you do is you meet with your discipleship coach. And you say, what's a discipleship coach, Pastor? Well, it's a more mature believer in Jesus Christ or somebody who's been through Starting Point. Because the idea is you go through Starting Point, and at the end of the seven sessions, we're going to celebrate your completion. We're going to give you a certificate of completion, right? And it says that you are now a certified discipleship coach, all right? I know it's a little bit corny, but we're trying to make the point that you got to go do this yourself, okay? This mandate, this mission isn't just for the professionals. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. And all this is a tool to put in your hands, in my hands, a tool for the 21st century, because you can access it anywhere, anytime, on demand, on your smartphone, on your laptop, on your tablet. We soft launched this last fall, and you may have seen, you know, this graphic on our website and in other places. I led two or three groups last fall, trained up as many coaches as I could. I'm leading currently three groups. I've got a staff group I'm taking through, and we're taking all of our staff through it. We've asked all of our deacons, all of our elders to go through it, and I've got two other groups that I'm leading. I'm not trying to be an overachiever. We're just trying to get as many trained up as possible, because I knew this day was coming. When I would preach this message and speak intentionally about it, we have people through the radio ministry that are registering, other churches that are beginning to use it.
We'll return to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones in just a moment. Listen on demand to any of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out our digital library, where you'll find more than 500 hours of video and audio teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Search the streaming library by scripture or topic for answers to some of your most challenging questions. That's the digital library at somethinggoodradio.org. Do you ever wonder if God really hears your prayers? Why do some prayers get answered in miraculous ways while others are seemingly ignored? Is there a correct way to pray? How prayer works is one of the great mysteries of the Christian life, but there is no doubt God invites us to approach Him in prayer. Dr. Ron Jones addresses these and other questions about prayer in his book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer, available now at somethinggoodradio.org. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a two-pack for $50. A four-pack for $75 or an eight-pack for $150 or more. give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get you back to Ron for the second half of today's message, the one thing Jesus told us to do.
I came up with starting point because I asked myself this question. If Joe over here on the front row came to faith in Christ this week and you handed him to me and said, Ron, disciple this guy, what kinds of conversations would I have with Joe to get him started in his relationship with Jesus? And I came up with these seven conversations, these seven experiences. You can't make a disciple in 7 weeks, but it's a starting point. It's a disciple's first steps. I'm working on a sequel having to do with the disciple's next steps that we hope to have out in the summertime. And these are tools that I want to put in your hand and my hand, because here is my unapologetic agenda in all this, is to create a disciple-making culture at our church, because it's the one thing Jesus told us to do. Amen. All right, that's it. There's no hidden agenda other than that. There's no cost. There's no, sign up now and you'll get, billed later. None of that. To register for this, you don't need a credit card, nothing like that. There's no hidden agenda other than this is the one thing Jesus told us to do. Let's get after it. We had a lady go through Starting Point in one of the coaching experiences, and she said, I have been in the church all my life. Why have I not learned this stuff? And I think that is the cry of so many people in the church today. When I ask somebody across our church or in other churches, have you ever been discipled? Has anyone ever intentionally? And I get deer in the headlights. We have interviewed potential staff where disciple making is really important. And when I say, okay, what is a disciple? How do you make one? And how do you know when you make one? I've had pastors in the ministry, PhD candidates, not able to answer the question. And my conclusion, and others on my staff who were in those interview sessions have concluded, it's because this guy has never been discipled himself. Those days are gone. We have a tool. That's all it is a tool. And it's a tool that works with all the technology of our day. I actually have a group that's starting in March that we will never be face-to-face because three of them are in Washington, D.C., and two of them are in Mississippi. And we're using video conferencing and audio conferencing to pipe them in. I've got a group on Thursday morning at 7:30 right now where one of the guys said, I'm going to be traveling on the West Coast. And he tries to stay on East Coast time. So he got up at 4:30 in the morning and video conference and audio conferenced in to be part of our conversation. Listen, be creative. This is not limited by time or space or place or anything like that, given the technology and the platform and all that. You could coach somebody and disciple somebody on the other side of the world if you can arrange the time. But let's start here, okay? Let's start here. It's the one thing Jesus told us to do, friends. And we've tried with this tool to take all the excuses out. Well, I haven't been to seminary. You don't have to be to seminary. I don't know that much. You don't have to. I do the heavy lifting on the video teaching. Yeah, but I don't know how to start the conversation. There's a coach's guide at the end to help you begin the conversations. You just have to be willing to have a 45-minute to hour-long conversation with somebody who's committed to going through each session. And that's all it is. And it's a starting point. It's a disciple's first steps. But oh, if we do this, do you know how far down the road we will be compared to other churches who give lip service to the Great Commission and to the one thing Jesus tells us to do? Just lip service. We're all not in agreement. But when you ask the question, what specifically do you do? Now here at our church, we have three environments. We have life groups, and that's kind of an organic thing, life on life, get connected in a life group, because we believe life change happens best in the context of a small group. We have the Shores Bible Institute, which are More traditional Christian education classes. If we meet in circles and in homes over here, we meet in rows in the Institute, and we deliver other things here. But now discipleship coaching, which designed to be more intensive, smaller, it's a coach and 3 to 5 other people. High level of commitment. If you can't make it for 7 weeks, okay, let's schedule it a different time. But this is not a float in and float out kind of thing, because we got some work to do here and some business to conduct. Because at the end of this, you are, as a professor of mine used to say, now in debt up to your eyeballs to take what you have learned and pass it on to somebody else. That's what disciple making is all about. Making disciples who go and make disciples. And I just want to encourage you. Here's your homework. You go to AtlanticShores.org. You look for that graphic, or you go to our app. I hope you've downloaded our app on your smartphone. You'll find that graphic on there. Click there, and you'll go to a page on our website where it explains all of this. You can register. That registration, the first step, sends an email into our church office to alert us you would like to be part of a discipleship coaching group, and we'll find you a coach. It may be your life group leader. All right? So life group leaders, get ready. But even out of life groups, we want life group leaders to figure out a way to coach. And this will just keep growing and growing and growing, because it's not a curriculum that you start and finish and say, okay, I did that Bible study. No, we're making disciples who go and make disciples. There's no stop to this. There's no end to it. If there was an end to it, you and I wouldn't be here today. It would have all stopped with Jesus and the 12 in the first century. But he was a multiplier. He was a reproducer. And we have to carry that on. That is the one thing Jesus told us to do. Amen?
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, the one thing Jesus told us to do. Ron, you mentioned your online discipleship coaching experience, Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. We mention it from time to time right here on Something Good Radio. But as we wrap up today's message, is there anything you'd like to add about Starting Point or about today's broadcast?
I do have something to add, Brian. Earlier today, I spoke about the 5 traits of a disciple, and you just summed them up yourself. But I want to talk for a minute about what I believe to be the most important quality, not only for being a disciple, but for making disciples of others. I'll put it like this. The best way to obey the Great Commission is by first obeying the Great Commandment. Jesus said to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Now, when we truly love Him that way, or at least strive to love Him that way, only then can we truly love others the way He asks us to. Loving God, loving others, well, the two go hand in hand. But the first and greatest commandment lays the foundation for all that follows. So if we love God, we are better able to love others. And if we genuinely love others, then there is little doubt that we'll be passionate about sharing the hope we have in Jesus Christ with them.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with some final thoughts on today's message and on his discipleship coaching experience, Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. Look for it at somethinggoodradio.org. Now, Ron, Christmas Day is fast approaching, and I know you have a series beginning tomorrow that talks about the birth of our Savior and what it means to us as individuals and to the world in general. Tell us where you're headed next time as you kick off your teaching series, The Gifts of Christmas.
Well, Brian, one of my favorite parts of Christmas is giving gifts to the people I love. I'm sure you and many others out there feel the same way. But of course, God is a giver too. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He what? Well, He gave." Beginning tomorrow, I'll dive into what exactly He gave us. Not only the gift of a Savior, which of course is most important, but all the gifts that come our way because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are too many to mention, but I'll talk about some of them. And I can promise you this, some of God's gifts may surprise you.
That's next time when Dr. Ron Jones shares his message, God So Loved. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.